Ever wondered how you effortlessly recall childhood memories or envision your future? Well, a small, seahorse-shaped brain region called the hippocampus holds the key to our mental time travel.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I've always been curious about how we can vividly revisit past experiences, complete with sights, sounds, and emotions. And not just the past, how the hippocampus helps us construct potential future scenarios.
Exactly. That's what makes this so intriguing. The hippocampus isn't just about storming memories, it's about weaving them into a narrative, a sense of self that persists through time.
It's like our brain's personal storyteller. And what's even more remarkable is how this tiny structure plays such a crucial role in our spatial awareness, our ability to navigate the world.
Absolutely. Think about it. Without the hippocampus, we'd be lost, both literally and figuratively, unable to find our way home or place ourselves in the timeline of our own lives.
It's almost like having an internal GPS, but for time and space, not just physical location.
Precisely. And what about imagination? It's not just recalling the past, it's also about projecting ourselves forward, creating mental images of what might be. How does the hippocampus contribute to that?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Studies suggest that the same mechanisms involved in recalling past events are also at play when we imagine future experiences. It's like the hippocampus is remixing our memories to construct potential scenarios.
So our past experiences actually shape our ability to imagine the future? That's a powerful concept.
It is, and it highlights the crucial role of the hippocampus in not just remembering, but in planning, decision-making, and even creativity.
I see. So damage to this tiny structure can have profound consequences, like anterograde amnesia, the inability to form new memories. Patient HM is a classic example of this, isn't he?
Yes, a truly tragic and informative case. HM's inability to create new memories after his surgery underscored the hippocampus's central role in memory consolidation. But he could still learn new skills, which suggests that different types of memory reside elsewhere in the brain.
Right. Procedural memory, like riding a bike, seems to be independent of the hippocampus. It's the episodic memories, the personal what, where, and when of our lives that are affected.
And those episodic memories are deeply tied to our sense of self. They're what make us who we are.
It's true. The hippocampus is also vulnerable to conditions like Alzheimer's disease, where its deterioration contributes to memory loss and disorientation. And let's not forget the impact of stress, which can actually shrink the hippocampus.
It's a delicate structure, susceptible to various factors, but there's also evidence of its plasticity, its ability to change and even grow through neurogenesis. Things like exercise and learning new skills can have a positive impact.
That's encouraging. It underscores the importance of a healthy lifestyle for maintaining cognitive function as we age.
Absolutely. The hippocampus is a complex and dynamic structure, constantly working to shape our understanding of time, space, and self. It's truly the brain's time traveler, and the more we learn about it, the more amazed I am.
So we were talking about the hippocampus, this incredible little structure in our brains that's essentially our internal GPS for time and space. It's amazing how it weaves our memories into a narrative, a sense of self, but it's not the only way spatial learning happens across the animal kingdom, right?
No, not at all. It's easy to get human-centric about these things, but nature has found some other fascinating ways to achieve similar outcomes. Take insects, for instance.
Like cockroaches? I remember reading something about their navigation abilities.
Exactly. Cockroaches and other insects have these structures called mushroom bodies in their brains. They're involved in learning and memory, kind of analogous to what the hippocampus does in mammals, but they evolved completely independently.
So similar function, different evolutionary path. That's remarkable. It speaks to the power of convergent evolution, doesn't it? Solving the same problem in different ways.
Absolutely. And then there's the octopus, which is just mind-boggling. Their brains are organized so differently from ours, arranged in a ring of lobes around their esophagus. One of these lobes, the vertical lobe, seems to play a role in long-term memory formation. And it's thought to be analogous to both the hippocampus and the cerebellum in mammals.
Wow. The cerebellum is involved in motor control and coordination, right? So this one lobe in the octopus is doing double duty, handling both memory and motor functions?
It appears so, which is just another example of how diverse evolution can be. And what's even more fascinating is that the vertical lobe in the octopus shares some functional features with the insect mushroom bodies, even though they're completely different structures.
Mm-hmm. It's like nature is experimenting with different tools to achieve the same goal. It makes you wonder about the underlying principles at play. What is it about these structures, despite their differences, that allows them to support spatial learning and memory?
That's a great question, and it's something researchers are still actively exploring. One theory is that it might have something to do with the way these structures process information, perhaps the way they form and store representations of the environment, but there's still a lot we don't understand.
So we were talking about how incredible the hippocampus is, right? This tiny part of the brain acts like our personal time machine, letting us relive past experiences and even imagine future ones. It's essential for memory and spatial navigation, like an internal GPS. But it's not the only way spatial learning happens in the animal kingdom. Nature has some pretty clever alternatives.
Yeah, exactly. Thinking about it, the hippocampus is pretty human-centric. Other species have evolved completely different mechanisms to achieve similar results. Insects, for example, use mushroom bodies in their brains for learning and memory.
Oh, really? Like, what kind of insects?
Well, cockroaches, for one, they're surprisingly good at navigating. And other insects, too. These mushroom bodies are analogous to the hippocampus in mammals, but they evolved independently.
So same function, different evolutionary path. It's like conversion evolution in action, isn't it? Solving the same problem with different tools. Fascinating.
Absolutely. And then there's the octopus. Their brains are just bizarre. They're organized so differently from ours, with lobes arranged in a ring around their esophagus. One of these lobes, the vertical lobe, seems to be involved in long-term memory, similar to the hippocampus and the cerebellum in mammals.
Wait, the cerebellum? That's involved in motor control, right? So one lobe in the octopus is doing double duty? Handling both memory and motor functions?
Apparently so. It's just remarkable how diverse evolution can be. And get this, the vertical lobe in the octopus also shares some functional features with insect mushroom bodies, even though they're completely different structures.
It's like nature is running a series of experiments, trying out different tools to achieve the same goal. It really makes you wonder about the underlying principles, doesn't it? What makes these structures, despite all their differences, capable of supporting spatial learning and memory?
That's the million-dollar question. Researchers are still trying to figure that out. One theory is that it has to do with how these structures process information, maybe how they form and store representations of the environment. But honestly, we've still got a long way to go. It's a complex puzzle.
So we've been talking about the hippocampus and its role as the brain's time traveler, allowing us to recall past events and imagine future ones. This amazing structure also plays a key role in spatial navigation, acting like our internal GPS. But this new research paper we're discussing really challenges some conventional interpretations of hippocampal function, doesn't it?
It does. It highlights how much we've overlooked the role of viewing behavior in memory studies. We tend to assume that what we present visually is what's processed, but the reality is far more nuanced. Our eyes are constantly scanning, exploring, fixating, and this active viewing process profoundly shapes what we remember.
Right, and this paper argues that the hippocampus isn't just passively receiving visual input. It's actively guiding our visual exploration, using memory to direct where we look next. That's a pretty radical shift in perspective.
It is. The author suggests that memory formation is not a static event, but a dynamic interplay between memory and exploration. The hippocampus provides online memory representations, like a constantly updating mental map that influences where our eyes go next. This active exploration, in turn, shapes the memory being formed. It's a feedback loop.
It's fascinating. So instead of just being a storage unit for memories, the hippocampus is more like a dynamic conductor, orchestrating the entire memory-making process, right? It's using memory to guide exploration, and that exploration is constantly refining the memory.
Precisely. And this explains why studies have found a correlation between hippocampal activity and the complexity of visual stimuli. More complex stimuli require more exploration, leading to greater hippocampal engagement. It's not just about the associative demands of the stimuli, as previously thought, but about the active viewing process itself.
I see. So the hippocampus isn't just responding to the complexity of what we see. It's actively driving us to explore it more deeply, leading to richer, more cohesive memories.
Exactly. And this active exploration is crucial for binding together different elements of an experience, the sights, sounds, locations, into a coherent episodic memory. Without this active hippocampal involvement, our memories would be fragmented and incomplete. It's like trying to understand a story by only reading a few sentences here and there.
That makes sense. And the paper also discusses the challenges this poses for fMRI studies of memory. If we don't account for viewing behavior, we might misinterpret hippocampal activity as being related to memory encoding when it's actually reflecting the exploration process itself.
Absolutely. It becomes incredibly difficult to disentangle the two. Think about studies on attention, emotion, or even intentional remembering. All these factors influence not just what we remember, but how we look at things. So are the observed hippocampal effects truly about these cognitive processes, or are they simply reflecting changes in viewing behavior?
Right. The paper gives the example of a study where hippocampal activity increased for scenes with impossible object configurations. Initially, this might seem like the hippocampus is involved in detecting inconsistencies. But when they tracked eye movements, they found that people simply looked more at the impossible parts of the scene. So the increased hippocampal activity could simply reflect this increased visual attention.
Exactly. And that's why the authors are calling for more research that incorporates eye tracking into the experimental design. We need to be able to separate the effects of viewing behavior from the cognitive processes we're trying to study. Otherwise, we risk drawing misleading conclusions about the role of the hippocampus in memory.
So we've been delving into this fascinating area of the brain, the hippocampus, and its crucial role in memory and spatial navigation. It's like our brain's internal GPS, right?
Exactly. And what's striking is how deeply embedded it is, about an inch and a half within each temporal lobe, just above the ear. It's almost as if it's tucked away for safekeeping.
It is. And it's not just one homogeneous structure either. It has distinct parts, the hippocampus proper, the dentate gyrus, and the subiculum, all working together in this intricate dance of memory formation.
It's like a well-oiled machine, with each part playing a specific role. And unlike many other parts of the body, it exhibits neurogenesis, meaning it can actually change and grow over time. That's pretty remarkable.
It is. It speaks to the brain's plasticity, its ability to adapt and learn throughout our lives. But of course, this also means it's vulnerable to damage and disease.
Right. And the symptoms of hippocampal dysfunction often manifest as memory problems, like short-term memory loss, difficulty with directions, trouble forming new memories, those sorts of things.
Yeah. And we talked about some of the conditions that can affect the hippocampus: Alzheimer's, PTSD, temporal lobe epilepsy, all with pretty serious consequences.
Absolutely. Alzheimer's in particular is devastating, as the hippocampus is one of the first areas to be affected. It's heartbreaking to see how memory loss and disorientation rob individuals of their sense of self.
It is. And PTSD, with its flashbacks and anxiety, highlights how the hippocampus can also be involved in our emotional responses, particularly in relation to traumatic experiences.
It's like the hippocampus is trying to protect us by triggering these avoidance behaviors, but it can become a debilitating cycle. And then there's temporal lobe epilepsy, which can also damage the hippocampus over time, leading to further memory problems.
It's a delicate structure for sure. But the good news is there are things we can do to support its health: learning new skills, engaging multiple senses, using memory aids, and regular quizzes. They are all beneficial.
Those are all great strategies. Anything that challenges the brain, encourages it to form new connections, can help keep the hippocampus in good shape. And honestly, it's never too late to start. The brain's capacity for learning and adaptation is truly remarkable.